Welcome to the Draw.Biz Podcast, your weekly dose of fantasy footy content.
G'day everybody and welcome to the Draft Doctors. I'm your host John Crockett and today we've got a keeper pod for you. We are buy, selling and holding players that we think may give us some value, one that we're sick of and one that we think might improve in the following year. And to help us do that is the man from Western Victoria, Stevie Fizz. How you doing?
I feel a little bit dirty talking keepers without the great man Stato, but you know, here we are. We'll power on. We still have keeper teams. Sometimes they're good.
We
do.
We think we know what we're doing, but we'll go on gut feeling, as we say in the classics.
Oh, it wasn't last week's show with Warnie great, though. Feels like fantastic. It just happened.
5 minutes ago. Literally 5 minutes ago. Good times. Good times. And Cam, welcome to you. And congrats on said team or commiserations.
Yes. One of the two. And so, I would, however, from a keeper perspective, I'll tell you what. I won the Keeper League this year, and y'all can suck my balls, because I clearly know what I'm talking about. And so my buy, hold, and sell is going to be elite. Very elite.
Well, you inherited a big piece of shit pile of team, didn't you?
What, yeah, correct. Ago? And I've driven it to a championship on the back of people offering me trades and me doing literally nothing and just accepting.
Are they proper trades or are they DOS trades? Here's a bucket of gold for my piece of shit.
Well, funny you should mention DOS, because he's taken what was a Ferrari team and turned that into a big lump of shit. So,
but he's got 57 keepers and he can keep 12. So he's not spoilt for choice. It's fine.
There'll be some good nuggets to pick up in the draft later. Oh, I'd say next year. All right. We are going to let's start with the buys. Cam, who's your first buy target?
My first buy target is actually Toby Nankervis. I think he's still going to be on a lot of waivers after his pretty putrid year because of injury and then also because of previous seasons being out injured as well. Has had pretty good history being a solo ruckman and performed quite well, as he gets around the ground a lot more than your sort of lumbering big ruckman. Unfortunately, because he's been paired with Ivan Soldo for most of the year, his score's been pretty split, I'd suggest. But when he has been solo, especially over the last couple of weeks, even in the finals, he's been more promising, still not so great. What I'm suggesting, though, is that if he gets a very good run through preseason next year, I think that because Soldo has gone down with that ACL, there is no other recognised ruckman. But he will be solo ruck next year, and there's a potential for him to, you know, potentially... He's 26 this year. I think he's still got a couple of good years in him, and he could be a very serviceable second ruckman. Or if you're trading, if you're running out someone like Sam Jacobs, who's just retired, and Mummy's probably gone as well, he could be someone that tides you over for the next couple of years while you get a generational ruckman through at the same time, like your TDK or something similar.
Man, Nank's only 26. He seems like he's like 33 or something like that. Just so, like, it's weird. I don't know.
Injuries have not been kind with him, unfortunately. But I, if he can get his body right, he's a no-brainer.
I think it's a great call because he's got good upside and he'll be cheap as chips. Yep. The only thing I hate about Richmond is they really seem to like running the two rucks.
But who else will they run?
Chol. And they play him.
Yeah.
They play him. You can't say they Chol, don't.
Bolter. Can Bolter
make Bolter is he play, locked. He played defense. He's locked in defense. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. No, I see the risk.
I think the price will be right, though. That's the thing. Correct. So I'm with you.
Yeah. Steve, your first buy candidate.
My first buy candidate is Cam Rayner from Brisbane. Probably been what you would call underwhelming for a number one overall pick, but he's... The knock on him, but at least expectation was that he'd take a while to build a tank. He'll be heading into his fourth season in 2021. He's been pretty durable over the trip. And when you're looking to get these guys, you have to get them before they break out. And he certainly hasn't put the breakout season together yet. I think it can come. He's had an adjusted Dream Team 100 this year. He had two in his two Dream Team 100s in his first year, so certainly can score. Put together a couple of big Supercoach scores at the end of the year. Brisbane are a developing team. What's his name? Dane Zorko plays forward, plays midfield. He's starting to get long in the tooth. He might hang around for a bit longer because he came into the league a little bit later. But I certainly think there's going to be plenty of possessions and goals and tackles up for grabs for Rayner. So and you know, Brisbane look like being a good team, set up to be a good team for a few years to come. So I think he's a good guy to get really cheaply, and he should hold forward status for the bulk of his career, you'd imagine. I mean, Petraka was similar in that he was going to take a long time together. I know Petraka's had better numbers, but I think Rayner can certainly start to put some better scores on the board going forward.
Yeah, my whole... Yeah. After you, Jono.
Sorry, man. No, I was just going to say he has been that slow burn breakout, but you can see that he's got the skill, the talent, and the score build to be a good fantasy player, but it's just been the opportunity at the Lions where it hasn't presented itself just
yet.
Yeah,
so my whole thing is that he has started to already transition into that midfield role with Zorko transitioning into the forward role. So that flip is happening, and to the point where Zorko got DPP in AFL Fantasy this year. Like, it's clearly the move is happening. I think that will only get more pronounced next year.
My only buy candidate is Justin McInerney from the Swans. As you said, Steve, get these guys before they break out. I watched a bit of this guy this year, and even though he only played the 9 games, he showed that ability to build a score. He averaged the 14 disposals, 3 marks and 1.5 tackles a game. We know that the Swans are in a bit of a mini rebuild on the fly. They threw him in the guts. He did score pretty well, more of his super coach at the moment. Scored average of 70 there and only the 52, I think it was, in AFL Fantasy. So you got JPK getting long in the tooth. And the Swans had a rotating midfield roster, and they haven't really settled on that core group just yet. You know it's going to be Luke Parker definitely next year. McInerney's going to be entering his third year next year. I'm not going to see that big, massive breakout that we all expect, you know, third-year players to do, but another increase in average, maybe take it up to maybe an 84, 85 in Supercoach, something like that, 70, 60, 70 in AFL Fantasy. So, again, he's going to be relatively cheap. So if he's you might even be floating around on the free agency pool there. So he'd be one I'd be looking to buy or snaffle up before he gets too expensive.
My chips are so far in on Dylan Stevens in that Swans midfield. From a keeper perspective, I think he's going to be an absolute star as soon as maybe next year. He was so good this year in patches.
Was he injured?
No, he's just a rookie. A drafter.
Did he play?
Yeah, he played a bunch.
Okay, probably just didn't really notice him. Well, I noticed more McInerney. Yeah. Than McInerney played the 9 games. I don't know what Stevens
would
played,
have been but similar, I think. But yeah, he was very, very good. And Wicks, I think, looks really good too, actually.
I think Wicks is more of a winger forward type than actually like an inside mid type role.
You know who it's not? It's not Florin.
No. He might even get delisted.
Ooh.
Who knows? I'm throwing my Tom Brown here, just throwing shit out and see
what's Luke Parker. He might play fullback next year
and then be delisted.
Well, they just lost John Blakey and Stevie J at that club, so Dean Cox probably moving from ruck coach to defensive coach. Who knows? Luke Parker, come on now.
Well, Buddy retired, so he might just play full forward. Dean Cox, he might just come back.
Did Buddy retire?
How good he was as a forward.
He is as big as that goal square.
Is Buddy gone?
No.
Oh.
No.
It's like, holy shit.
No,
I've got him ranked in the top 10 forwards next year.
Jeez. I don't know. Is it based off you taking out the bin ability, or what was that based
Look,
on?
He never threw in a dud game this year, Jono. That's all I'm going to say about the great Bud.
That is true. About as good as you and I. Steve, who's your sell candidate?
My sell candidate is dual Brownlow medalist Nat Fyfe. So, and it's not that Nat Fyfe's a bad player or anything like that. It's just that now's the last time I think you're going to get any value for him. He does cross the magical 30 at the end of next year. So you probably, I mean, look, if you're competing, maybe you need him. But was good again this year. The adjusted average was good. Played the 14 games. I think that's sort of the problem. He's been obviously very plagued by injuries across his career. Still good enough to win two Brownlows. Supercoach scores have been massive. Never been an elite Dream Team option, let's say, but always been very good. So yeah, he's going to be 30. He's only played the 176 games. We'll be heading into his 12th season, and we're seeing Fremantle use him more and more forward. Obviously, if he had forward status, say, he'd be very attractive to keep. But I think they got a young developing midfield with Serong, Brayshaw, Chera, Mundy, all these young guys coming through. And they're going to probably spend more time forward, just keep his body fresh, keep him in check. And the other thing that happens, and there's a reason there's only 200-300 gamers from WA, is the travel wears you down. And Nat Fyfe's starting to get to the point where the travel becomes an issue age-wise. It's more of a games thing. It's generally around 200 games. And I know he hasn't played it, but if your body's cooked because you've been smashed through injuries, that probably can't be good as well. So I think Nat Fyfe's a good guy to get some value from if you can still trade him.
Yeah, I don't mind it.
And if you look at, if you compare him to a Pendlebury started tracking down in his 12th season, that's where Fyfe is now as well. So I think the production should come back a little bit. I know he's a gun, but...
Yeah, I think the alarm bells for me were the re-signing of Luke Valente of, you know, super random alarm bell, I guess, but they played as a better team when he played forward. And the fact that they've signed another inside mid to a two-year deal, it tells me that they're probably looking to use him there more.
Yeah, he'll be forward mid instead of mid forward for next year. Who's your sell candidate?
My sell is Andy McGrath. Just think that, and it's pretty simple, actually. He had a career best year this year, though you wouldn't be able to tell if you didn't know it was Corona Ball. 70.5, 71.4, 74.7, 72.2 this year, but obviously adjusted, that's much closer to the 100. Fourth season, you know, you're kind of expecting him to go to the next level. He took on the more responsibility in that midfield, and he actually played full-time midfield across the season as well. But this is the best he could do. I actually really think that he's not as much of an accumulator and therefore not as good a scorer as some of the other players out there. And I think 77.2, if you adjust it to, say, a 95, that's probably about where he's going to stay for the rest of his career. And that's okay to hold, but you might be able to sell a bigger story to someone else in that, actually, yeah, he's fourth year. Look at how much he improved. He's only going to get better again. Look at the turmoil at Essendon. Who knows what's going to be left there? There's so much opportunity for him. He's with the club. I think you can sell him higher than that 95 mark. And if he goes better, great for whoever sold him to you. I don't think you're going to lose out on the trade, but you can definitely lose if he comes back further. So for me, it's a sell.
Yeah, I don't think McGrath's going backwards. I think they liked him in that midfield and actually was good. So I don't see the regression at all in there. I think there's other players that they might be looking at, especially if there's rumours of Merritt leaving. Then who knows? But it's a good sell, but I don't want any piece of any Essendon players.
That's it as well, right? So I don't want to hold the risk of an Essendon player, but I also don't think he's got as much upside as I could sell him for more than he's worth, is my guess.
So what was his average?
77.2 and not.
No, well, what was the
adjusted? Just say it's 95. It'd be really close to 95.
I mean, it's pretty hard for a full-time mid to go back too much further than that.
But even if he doesn't regress, right, I think you can sell, because he's so young,
I think you can sell him at
105. In a keeper league, absolutely.
Yeah, maybe. Okay. I don't know.
Yeah.
I like him.
Okay.
Imagine Zach Merritt. Fuck.
That won't happen. No way.
I know it's only rumor and speculation, but you don't know. You don't know. Just saying.
John Brown. I'm following you. Doing a good job, isn't he? Two weeks in a row he's come out with stuff like that, isn't it?
John O'Brown. Oh, Great Western
that Victoria. Last week's show with Ward.
Good first names. That's all it is. I'm following your suit with the Essendon midfielders, and I'm selling Dylan Scheel because he is coming off pretty much a career year this year. And at the start of Corona Ball, we're like, oh, holy crap, Dylan Scheel's 80% time on ground, blah, 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 blah. That ended up averaging down to 78% this year. That's exactly the same as his career average in a normal season. So there was no upside or anything. He's played the same amount of minutes as previous years and still had a pretty good year. That's it. He's hit his peak. And I'm looking to sell Dylan Scheel to a team that might be in the hunt for next year because he's going to be an okay player. He's got name value. He's going to be an okay player. He'll regress a little bit similar to the Andy McGrath. And I don't want that. And again, it's an Essendon player. Who knows what's going to be happening there with the club. So I'm getting rid of Dylan Scheel next year.
Hey, guess how old he is, Cam?
27.
Oh, can only be downhill.
Well, I never said that.
Is he? 27. I thought he was 29.
No, he's 27, I think. So, yeah.
Disposal efficiency is horrible.
So that's his career year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. All downhill now for Dylan Scheel. And get a haircut. Because it's horrible.
Jeez. Look at your hair.
I have a reason why I can't get a haircut. I'm in a fucking lockdown. But no, Dylan Scheel, he's got the name value. Someone will take him. And you get someone better in your forward or mid defense.
It's not a big name, though.
Decent enough.
He's fine.
Fine. All right, who are you holding, Steve?
I'm holding Sam Powell-Pepper. And, yeah, exactly. He's just kind of a guy you have. He's got the forward status. He's rosterable week in, week out, I think. Played the four seasons. He's going to tick up 100 games next year. Or thereabouts. It will just come under 100 games. So thereabouts. But I actually think there's reason to believe in Sam Powell-Pepper. He'll be heading into his fifth season next year. And like he's not costing you games at the minute. He's doing fine. But you're talking about a team where the major contested ball winners are all plus 30. Like you've got their main contested ball winners are Boak, Rocky, Charlie Dixon, believe it or not, Robbie Gray, Brad Ebert. So all these guys are really, they're long in the tooth. And I know the sexy names are like Rosie and that coming through. There's potential for Ollie Wines to leave as well. But so with Robbie Gray, that's a lot of contested ball in the forward line. So even if Powell-Pepper doesn't eventually become a full-time mid, there's still opportunity within that forward line. So I just think he's a good guy to hold. I don't think you're ever going to get a great deal for a guy like him. But, you know, he's certainly not worth throwing away. And there is the potential that he gets full-time mid-minutes at some point. The knock would be that his time on ground, if he got that role, his time on ground would most likely be pus.
What is it at the moment? Yeah, time on ground?
Oh, I don't know.
He was pretty solid. He was pretty solid this year.
I think that's the thing. He really can't get worse than what he is. Mm. Like, he's scoring at a rosterable score with forward status.
Jack Zeeble or Powell-Pepper, who are you taking? Yeah.
Well, in a 1 year, I'd take maybe Jack Zeeble because those guys aren't exactly retiring this year. But I think in a couple of years, as you know, he's fine, which is what a hold kind of is.
Mm.
Yeah, exactly. Who's your hold?
So speaking of just kind of fine, Jade Gresham. That came out wrong, probably. Jade Gresham. He had an absolutely shithouse year because he was troubled with a back complaint for the majority of it after trying to carry St Kilda all of last year. And you can probably expect him to bounce back next year as a result. And he's kind of he's not someone that you'd trade for any value, because this year he scored pretty terribly. He was played pretty much out of position the entire year. Scores of 43, 35, 33, not in AFL fantasy format, and 27, 43, and 57 in your Supercoach format. Not exactly setting the world on fire. But that being said, that back complaint, I believe, really restricted him and caused that positional switch. So I'd almost, you know, bank on him coming back next year and being pretty strong. And he's also going to have that dual position status still next year. So it's almost a, you can't delist him, you can't trade him, he's probably not worth much, but pretty good hold going into next year.
I'd 100% buy Gresham.
Yeah?
I reckon he had a lot of CBAs.
Yeah.
But the weird part was he didn't score particularly well, so maybe he was carrying something and that's why he didn't score, yeah. But
that's my hypothesis, right? Like that he was carrying, well, the back injury was season long. So I think it's a hold, and I understand the buy as well.
My hold could fall into any one of the buy, sell, or hold category. It's Liam Duggan. Now, we saw Duggan have a pretty good year this year, and in the latter part of the year, he got to play the midfield minutes with the Yo and Shuey injuries. He's also been touted as that Shannon Hearn heir apparent, and that's why I'm holding him, because Shannon Hearn has signed on another 1-year contract for his God knows how many season he's up to, but I think he's going to try and play as many seasons as he can before he goes fully bald, Shannon Hearn. So that's why Liam Duggan, he's going to be that intercept marker for years to come. He's 23 years of age. That is an aging West Coast defence. I don't think he has been playing that lockdown role with Hearn in that team. Hearn, I think, did miss a couple of games this year. So get that role in a year or two, then you might be able to look at him as, depending on how he goes in the year after, he could be a sell candidate later. But I'm holding, see what he does, and see what, who's the coach over there? Adam Simpson does with him. I was going to say Jim Worsfold, buddy. See what Simpson does with him next year, because he's got a lot of upside. He scored pretty well in both formats, so he can play midfield, play that intercept defender. That's why I'm holding Liam Duggan.
Yeah, I like it. I mean, I was looking for him as well, and I couldn't decide if he was a buy or not, because
I actually did have him as a buy, yeah, as well. Like,
I think he can go better than he did this year, and he's one of those guys that, it's been a slow-ish burn. Bloody Footy Rhino's been on Liam Duggan's, you know, train for a long time. And you kind of have to respect his knowledge of West Coast a little bit, having watched more of them than anyone else, I would suggest. But, yeah, I reckon he's going to be very, very, very rosterable for about the next 5 years, 10 years.
Average 84 Supercoach and 69 AFL Fantasy, so...
Nice.
Very nice. So, yeah, a lot of upside there for Liam Duggan. All right, we are moving into the ISO draft of the show. Yeah, this is Warnie's idea that he gave us. We are drafting AFL mascots in a group collective, and they're going to fight each other. And we're going to give our reasons why we are drafting said mascot and what their power to be will carry them and our team to victory. So, Steve, have you got that number generator there?
No, or? I don't. I don't, actually.
is this? Can I just clarify something? So, is this one mascot versus one mascot? Are we talking about Battle Royale? Everyone is fucking in this.
No, no. So, we're getting 16. What do we got? 12. 12,
yeah.
12. So, we're going to have four mascots. And then my mascot's going to fight your mascots. And then
what? So it's the Anchorman fight.
The Anchorman thing.
Yeah,
the Anchorman fight. Oh, correct. Okay.
What's the order?
Me, Steve
King. You son of a bitch.
That's so unfair.
No, we need a number generator for this one. Give me two.
We'll bring
it
up.
Yeah, okay. Wait.
Now, in the group chat, we're talking about this. Like Steve was going, oh, power, what do we classify power as? We'll get to that. But you said you had a sneaky one. And I think I found your little sneaky one, but I don't know if
it's the same
one.
You ready?
Yeah, go.
Okay, So, Nate, who?
Jono.
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 Me.
Your third.
Fuck
sucked
you.
In. Steve.
Me.
Your first. No, I'll take second then.
Okay. Well, I'm obviously taking the sun first. The sun. The ball of fire in the sky, which is the immediate winner. Cannot lose. I win this fight with the sun. Everyone, you've fucking lost.
It's a solid pick. It's a solid pick.
It's a very solid pick.
But I think you can. I think you will.
Redheads bow down to the sun. They're already wiped out.
Cam,
my problem with the sun is that it's not here. It can't do anything. It just sits there.
Well, you can get skin cancer.
Yeah, that is a very long play. Right?
It's a ball of fire.
Solar flares?
It's solar a ball flares.
Yeah, a ball of fire millions of light, you know, how light years away? Okay. I'm going to go with... Ah, geez. So it's...
You got no idea.
It's really freaking hard. I'm going to go with the demons.
Demons. Fuck you, Cam. Fuck you. Because that is the only thing that can beat the
You know
sun.
It.
Because if they've got demons, they've got little powers and that, they can manipulate the sun to just turn into a big ice cube.
That's right.
Like that.
That big ice cube.
Very high.
Straight out of Compton.
Fuck. I'm going to get my ass whooped in. Now, okay, question. With Saint, are we talking like Mary McKillop who performed some sort of miracle? Or are we talking like, they're not angels,
you've
got
to convince the listeners. You don't have to convince
Dude,
me.
Dude, you should be talking about Val Kilmer. The Saints.
No, fuck it. I'm going Giants because they're huge motherfuckers who can punch out the sun if it gets close and absorb the sun's powers.
What if I had a Captain Planet-like power where I could control the sun?
Well, this sounds like...
Anyway, China's got the giant. Yep. Who giant. You got, Jono? You got the second pick.
Yeah, I know. I need divine intervention. I'm taking the Saints because I need a prayer just to help me.
Wow.
To help me burn out the sun. And what did you pick, Sam? Cam? Demons. Yeah, I needed to put some holy water on the demons.
So you've gone the Saints. And then what was your other pick?
Giants.
Okay. I'm going to... I feel like this could be a really terrible one. I'm going to take Port Power. It could be terrible because it's literally, you know...
Well, we haven't defined what power
is. A mild brownout. What an attack. You know? But actually, it's lightning and from the sky and also killing things with that.
Or it's just a wind turbine.
Whoa. Yeah. hydrogen generated power. Yeah. No, power, going to kill lots of electricity. Bam, bam, bam. Okay.
I thought about it and I was
but
like...
But how does that defeat the sun?
Well, it turns it off.
No.
No, I turn the electricity off. If the sun disappears.
Excuse me.
Solar power.
We don't need solar power. We have water generated power.
And it all turns to shit now, doesn't it?
It really goes bad.
I'm excited to see if anyone takes the blues.
Well, depression is.
Yeah, I know.
That's where I was going. It's actually going to be my next pick.
Oh, is it really?
That was my sneaky pick. So I've got the blues. And initially I was like, "What's a blue? What? No one will draft that." And I was like, "No. Look at the effect this lockdown's having on people."
Yeah. That
it's a real thing.
Yeah.
So, look at Melbourne. It's just turning on itself. It's eating it. Now, I don't want to make a joke about it, but I think it's a great pick and you're all fucked.
But you live in regional Victoria and Cam lives in Queensland, so it only works for Metro Melbourne people.
Well,
so
beating you. And obviously, I think with my next pick, I have to take the bombers. Like, they're planes that can drop bombs and shit.
Have you seen when birds fly into turbines? You could get done by the crows, the eagles, or the pies.
Nah,
crows.
No, I've got
crows
guns
are pretty useless.
Stealth bombers. They're just they're
No one said anything about
Swans? Swans. Stupid fucking yeah. What a shit magpie. I was looking at my list. I'm going, oh, how terrible are magpies? And I was like, how terrible are Swans?
What?
So at least magpies, they're good for 1 month of September when they swoop the shit out of you.
Yeah.
Have you seen that video where the guy, the swan, yeah, have you seen, swans are aggressive. Like, really aggressive. That's true. And one starts coming at this one bloke, and he's just like, not today. And he literally just grabs it by the neck and picks it up and moves it over to a pond.
Oh, really?
It's fucking badass. Oh, like,
what's your third
pick? Oh, man, I was hoping to not have to pick again because it is so, in fact, dire. That's a shit animal. That's a shit animal. That's a shit animal. Actually, okay, I got it. Has anyone seen the movie Cats?
No.
The new one. No. So that is the most fucking terrible thing that's ever happened in cinema. And watching that will potentially have dire consequences if you see the whole thing. Therefore, I am taking Cats.
Hmm. I actually think you were on a winner until that.
Fuck! Picture. There's nothing left! The bulldog? What's a bulldog going to do? Just sit there.
What's a docker?
I think it's just a union member.
Yeah.
That's pretty powerful.
Yeah, fucking earth there.
That's why I'm taking a docker. If it's union, if we're saying it's a union, like they got the power to shut shit down, like they're shutting the power down. That's it. Like can't come on site, you're
surely
fucked.
Surely he can find some meth and have a lot of, you know, meth power.
Ooh. The and power of the meth. Go planet. Go planet.
I do like big cats. Big cats. I'm going to take my big lion to fucking kill your cats.
You didn't take the union?
I did take the union. Oh, okay. I'm going to finish off.
Mate, the lions have no power over Cats the musical, the movie.
Oh, yeah, they do. Because they're played by humans and they'll just eat their innards out.
Mm.
You lose. 9 times out of 10, you lose. You're in my world now.
All right, so how does this go, right? So we're lining up. The sun comes out.
The sun and depression.
Yeah, oh, man. They're both long games, Steve. The fight's over before they've had an impact.
It's a keeper league. It's a keeper league.
Dynasty.
Oh, my goodness.
You got to pick something. Otherwise, you're getting a crow. Probably the most useless animal out there.
Dude, kangaroo is a fucking useless animal.
Kangaroos are vicious, man. They'll cut you up.
Man, I've thrown that many kangaroos into pits. They go down pretty easy, I think.
But over a crow?
I haven't thrown many dead crows into the pits.
Surely a pie is worse than a crow in regards to... They swoop shit all the time.
Oh, yeah. Pies are more dangerous than a crow. Mm. You still got to pick something, otherwise you get...
I'm told we don't even have crows in Victoria. We have ravens.
No, that's bullshit. They're crows. It's like people who say a panther is just a black leopard.
Is it?
Yeah.
You're stalling. Just pick one. That's all you got to
do. Jeez, he's choking here. Isn't it Steve's pick? It's Steve's pick, isn't it?
No, it's you.
Oh,
second pick. I've done
it. Oh, my God. I'm so sorry. I really thought that it was Steve. All right. So I've taken power, which is, you know, everything gets electrocuted. And then I've taken cats. Everything gets disappointed. And then I've taken... who else do I take? Power, cats,
demons.
Everything gets demonified. I'm going to take the eagles because I need to survey the battlefield. This will give me all of the intelligence on where you are, except for the sun, because that's above me. And it doesn't matter because it's not even on the battlefield.
Bombers. I'll take tigers. Tigers seem... like a good pick.
Nah, you can't beat a hawk. How are you going to beat an eagle if you can't even... I'll swoop.
Well, I've got the bombers.
He's got the
bombers.
Sun.
No, my... Sorry, that's fair enough. My eagle kamikaze directly into your bomber. So your bomber's down.
It can't get there.
Bomber is down.
It can't get there.
Fly through that engine. Godspeed.
What's that? Indiana Jones, where all the seagulls fly to the planet.
My eagle is the fucking guy in Independence Day flying up into the ship.
Get the umbrella.
Can't survey shit if you're dead, eagle.
All right, run through the teams.
I've got the Suns, the Blues, the Bombers, and the Tigers. Cam's got Demons, Power, Cats, Eagles. Jono, Giants, Saints, Dockers, and Lions.
You are literally dead instantly. Yeah.
Me?
I'll execute the entire lot.
Saints, divine intervention. Oh. I'm casting miracles with my Saints.
Spider-Man.
in this fight of this.
I think Cam had it till the Cats pick.
Well,
I would have taken Lions and Eagles. I think you would have locked it up.
I should have taken Dockers. I actually think Unions. That's a really, really good pick.
Because you got no power now, mate. You got to pay cash. And then we'll take a protest because we want a pay rise.
Yeah, well, if you lose, you're just going to protest the results. It's brilliant.
Exactly. Tools out in the streets no matter what.
Is there a drop of rain? Tools down.
Over 28 degrees, tools down.
That's how we win the fights. We don't fight. Well, that was a good one.
Yeah, thanks, Warnie.
Thanks, Warnie. That was a good topic.
I'm glad we cut it off there and not like one more round where we were drafting the birds. Dogs. The birds.
Dude, I took a bird. What the... God damn it.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's an eagle.
Yeah.
It's a good bird.
Is a hawk better than an eagle?
No.
Eagles fly higher than hawks.
I don't know if that matters.
Twice as big.
Yeah, okay. Size matters, though. Okay.
Yeah, eagles can fuck... Really, they come from right up top, swoop in and then attack.
How do we have?
Well, that being said, we have the wedgies out here, and they get attacked by like littler birds.
Yeah,
and I'm just looking, I'm going, dude, just smash them.
No, they're nice birds. They don't like to hurt other birds. They're a bird advocate, and it's disappointing when they get taken out by other birds. Why do we have four birds and no fucking like sea animals or marine life?
A shark.
What, the Brisbane Dolphins?
Yeah, literally
like
anything. Seems like a narrow... How'd we get Unions we got sea life?
Maybe Tasmania's basketball team should have
Tasmanian
been
the... rainbow trouts.
How did we get depression before we got...
Wild.
Well, that's the bow we've drawn on the Blues. Yeah.
We all came up with it. We all went with it.
It could have been a whole heap of musicians. We don't know.
Yeah, just playing Baby Shark over and over again. Win.
Oh, that's still a win. That's still a win.
That's essentially the musical Cats, by the way.
Oh, yeah. Right. I haven't seen it. Rum Tum Tugger or whatever it is. Is that one of the Cats? You don't know.
No idea.
Was James Corden in that?
Taylor Swift as well.
Oh, right.
See, picking a good movie lately has been pretty ordinary. I've watched that Emancipation of Harley Quinn.
Oh, no. Oh. Yeah, no.
I just won't get that time back. So my strike rate on movies at the moment is no bueno.
The Boys season 2. Get into it.
I'm waiting for
It's done. No, it's finished. Eight episodes. Oh. Just finished this week. So good.
Oh, yep. Is that only eight?
So
10.
Good.
We rewatched L.A. Story the other night, and there was a dude walking around in like a gas mask at the start of it, and I mean that's the only relatable part of a movie these days.
Tough times. All right, that is going to wrap up the show for this week. If you've got any questions, queries, or ideas for ISO drafts, hit us up on social media on Facebook and Twitter. Just search The Draft Doctors. Hit us up there. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week.